Welcome to the Inspired Women Podcast, where your hosts connect you with inspirational women from around the globe and chat about topics relevant to today's modern woman. Here are your hosts.
Hi, I'm Jules. I'm the CEO of Julie Clark Creative. I help female entrepreneurs stand out from the everyday logos and brands. And this morning, I've got my crazy friend Megan with me.
Hi, I'm Megan Hall, the founder of Megan Hall Motivation. I help busy working women overcome the overwhelm of life by teaching them habits and routines that they can easily implement. And today we are here with our friend Debbie. Debbie.
Hi.
Is Scottish and she's amazing and we love her so much. But Debbie is a writer, blogger, and photographer who decided to chase her dreams of writing and make imagination her career. After overcoming a tough 3 decades that contained her abuse and 8 years of single parenting, she decided to soar and own herself. And I'm so excited, Debbie, that you're here. And we would love to know, what made you decide? What was that like turning point that made you decide, no, I love photography, but I am ready to put it all out there. I'm ready to tell people my story. So what made you decide to do that?
I think just because photography is what I was doing. It was not who I am. It's not what I woke up dreaming about, and it's not what I had wanted my whole life. But writing was, and because it was an escape for me. I made my own happy endings up in my head. I fixed things that happened to me the way I wanted to. You know, I finished sentences that I should have said. I did everything better in writing than I did in life.
I love that. And I love how you describe your type of photography and what you do. So what made you decide to do photography your way?
Well, I grew up with a photographer father in Scotland, and we're not really close, but I did, you know, he was a single dad, and I saw him doing his thing and reaching for his dreams and following all of these crazy business and entrepreneurships that he was after. But I was determined I would never be a photographer. There's no way I'm going to put myself through all of that stuff that he did, where bills didn't get paid and we had to move and it was a struggle and it was hard. And, you know, you had to go out and find your clients. And sometimes putting together his albums meant not coming to my parent night. So it was watching him go through all of those struggles. I was like, there's no way in hell I am doing that. And then somebody bought me a digital camera for Christmas 1 year, and I just took pictures of my own kids, and somebody said, hey, can you take pictures of us? And I thought, well, that's a normal sounding thing. Sure. So I took pictures with my camera of them, and then they told their neighbor, and then she told her neighbor, and then suddenly here was a photographer. And it wasn't like a choice. It was a thing. And I was rubbish. I look back at the pictures I took, and I was like, oh, my God. And the fact that those people, though, still have their framed prints that I did back then up on their wall, it's a testament to maybe that I'm cutting myself too short. Maybe I'm not that bad if they see it, but I compare a shot I did like yesterday to one I did 5 years ago, and I'm like, oh my gosh, so rubbish. But they don't see that. They just see that there was a smile, a certain laugh that their baby did, a kiss between them and their husband that they never knew even happened. It just happened, you know, so naturally they forgot to even record it in their head. But I was there for that moment. And so I saw that that's what people wanted from me. And I just started asking for money. And then one thing grew into another with some education and hard work and, you know, really finding a mentor that I appreciated. After several mentors I did not get what I wanted from, I found someone who made me feel I could do it in my way and be more me.
I was just going to say, I relate wholeheartedly to that story. That's how I started with photography too. My dad wasn't a photographer but had a old school SLR, and it was I was 18, I think, and he sold his camera, and I was heartbroken because that was, in my mind, that was my camera. It was what I used and I loved, and it was finally being able to purchase my own camera with my tax write-off that we get, or the tax refund. And I took photos of my cousin's vow renewal just because he wanted someone there to capture it. And it was funny because it was exactly like you say. It was someone talked to someone who talked to someone, and it just kept growing and building. And it was self-education and working bloody hard. But I knew every single part of that.
The beginning part, though, everyone would refer me because, oh, Debbie's cheap. And, you know, yeah. I really resent that word now because, you know, it has lots of different connotations behind it. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm first of all not cheap. Am I inexpensive? Yes, but that's because I don't feel like I have the experience behind it to put a price tag on it yet. I remember the first time I asked for $25, I felt like I was asking for a million.
Yeah.
It was really hard to put a price onto something like that. Like, how do you go from just taking pictures to saying that I'm a photographer? You know, that was, I even wrote a blog about that. It's hard, you know, what do you do? I take pictures. No, you don't. So you're a photographer. And I'm like, no, I'm not a photographer yet. I just take pictures. But then there was that shift where I actually started saying, I am a photographer.
Yeah.
So
you're a moment capturer.
A storyteller. Visual yes. storyteller.
Yes. Ooh, I said to Megan yesterday, I'm an intracranial jewelry maker. I make stuff look pretty.
Yes. I like that.
She makes all my stuff look pretty.
Well, good. My cranial needs some jewelry. So
okay.
You can make me pretty.
So you are getting too ready to rebrand and do like a whole shift here mm-hmm. soon. What made you decide to go in that direction?
Actually, the passing of my granny, she died. And, you know, it made me really, how boring is that? You know, someone dies and you're like, oh, life is short. But seriously, my mom died when she was 26. And I thought, you know what? I love the families that I meet. I like, now that I'm finally able to choose my clients and find the ones that are right for me. I wasn't whole. You know, and I had Jesus in my life, so I had that part filled. I finally had a new husband, so that little missing part was gone. You know, I wasn't lonely. There was just something. It wasn't feeling like myself, like my whole self, like who I know who I am. Because I think I've always known who I am, but actually allowing her to come out of the little cage I've kept her in took a long time because she was barricaded by other people's words or choices or my own insecurities. And so now finally I'm like, F it. Let's just knock this crap down and do it. Because if I don't do it now, it will be never. So why am I waiting for never? I don't want to do that. I want to do it now. I'm doing it. And it's very hard to do.
It is.
I finished my rebranding in November. And so I've been procrastinating myself because part of the blog that I want to do is about being 40. Even though I'm 42, I've been saying it since I was 40. It's a very hard being this naked, vulnerable online because in the photography world, at least, you're judged very much by what you put up on Instagram. Like, it has to flow. It has to be cohesive. Your Instagram has to be you. And I'm like, you know what? That takes too much work for me. Not because I don't want to put in work, but because that makes me have to sit and think about a candid moment in my own children's life. And I can get them to repeat it and say, no, let's do this up against a white background because that matches my brand. Let's find something red and throw it in there. That's not a candid moment. I am missing the story that my children are telling me in their chaos. I mean, their beautiful lives. And I am missing it because it doesn't match my brand. I can't put it on Instagram. And I'm like, why am I hiding who I am? You know, why am I stopping who I am? Because it's not cohesive enough to be trendy or beautiful. I've never been one who followed a trend. I've never been someone who did something because someone else was doing it until I became a photographer. And I really hated myself for that. I was like, finally, I'm being one of those stupid high school cliches. And I don't want to do that. What's pink and pretty for someone else works wonderfully for them because it fits who they are. And it looks great. And their work is beautiful. And their kids are cute and gorgeous. But that is not my life. And I don't want to emulate their life. I don't want to hide mine. So I know that if I put it out there, I cannot be the only one who is dealing with the stuff I deal with, who has 15-year-olds ordering breast enhancement cream. I want to write about that and be frustrated about it and laugh about it and cry and, you know, be angry at the things that go wrong because a lot of stuff does go wrong. It's really hard to raise respectable little girls, young women in this world. And I don't have the little cute ones I can throw on Instagram anymore with a big bow and say, look, there you go. Hashtag blessed. Yes, I'm blessed, but that's not my life, and it's not genuine, and I didn't want to hide anymore or feel ashamed of my own life because it didn't match everybody else's. So my Instagram is not cohesive. So my thing is that I'm very explosive in my Instagram posts. They'll be whatever I put up there because that is me. I'm just whatever, and I'm okay with that.
That's going to make people relate better to you. Debbie, I love it when you tell me stories and I read about your life because I can relate to that. When you're talking about crazy hormones with teenagers, I'm like, I'm right there with you, Debbie. I'm right there with you. Because most people can't. And they try to like have this highlight reel on Facebook of like, look how beautiful my family is. Look how perfect life is. And I'm like at home going like, I have a 13-year-old who screams at me every day.
Yeah. And like, and I have friends who are photographers who are very well known in the area, and they have gorgeous children, and they themselves manage to always make little videos with their kids. And I notice their kids look good. They look really pretty. They're usually made up. Their house looks clean. And I'm thinking, how the hell did that happen? Do you have Mary Poppins at home? Because when I had one toddler at a time, I was smelling my shirt to see if it was pee or coffee. I was trying to put my hair up when a kid was pulling and biting on my ankles, sucking my shoelaces. That to me is my life. I was like, what am I doing wrong that my life didn't match this picture? But I realized I was doing nothing wrong. Just being misunderstood.
I feel like Shrek and Fiona some days when they have all the multiple kids running around. Because I'm still in the little tiny stage, but the attitude's growing in TT because she's coming up to that seven-year-old stage. But I'm like you, my house, there's folded laundry that needs putting away. At least it's clean and it's folded. But there are days that I look at my trousers and think, is that peanut butter? Is it snot? Or is it something else that I should be more concerned about?
Yeah, and then you get teenagers and you're looking at the stains in the car, right, thinking, oh crap, is that chocolate or are they PMSing?
Oh, and then they're
that's real life. I'm sorry, but my 15-year-old did it to me the other day. She's like, mommy, what's on the car cover? I was like, I don't know, but I don't sit in the passenger seat, so you're wiping it.
It's so true though. And then I mean,
life with girls,
it is crazy. And then when they're PMSing, it's like, where did you come from? You are, whoa, like my whole head explodes every time my daughter PMSs. And it's like, I feel horrible for my husband because it's me and then it's her, so he gets like 2 weeks of like craziness because we're not like normal, like we are normal, but we're not the person that's like, I had it for like 3 days. No, it's like a 5 to 7 day extravaganza, and then the next one goes.
Mm-hmm. See, my kids are in the same cycle, and they have a whole week before where they PMS, and they PMS differently. My 22-year-old cries at everything. I could say, Lauren, don't do that, and she will just cry. It's like, why are you crying? I don't know. And then Caitlin will roll her eyes and slam whatever is nearest to her, make as loud as possible noise, and tell everyone, I hate you, you're ruining my life, which, you know, makes me feel like a wonderful mother because I'm ruining her life because I woke up and I don't know what I do wrong. But I realized I had a win the other day because in the midst of one of her rants, she has big long rants, and she told me, just because you're good doesn't just mean I can all the time. And I thought, oh, hey, she said I'm good. I must be good. That's okay, good, good. She doesn't hate me. I'm good. maybe what I'm doing is reflecting. And I felt, you know, like that's a little tiny peanut in a bag of crappy trail mix for me. You know, I got something sweet out of something not sweet, and it was nice. It was a like everything was forgotten. And usually she throws horrible tantrums around the house and smashes bananas on the wall when she's PMSing. And that's very hard for me to take because sometimes I'm running late because I'm wiping mushed banana off the wall and I'm thinking, why am I doing this? Nobody else does this on Instagram, so why am I here doing this? I must be a failure. But then yesterday I had to go to 2 photo shoots and she was in a bad mood because I wouldn't let her see a little boy that I don't want her to see. And so she got mad and I had to leave for my shoot and I felt great. I'm going to have to come home and wipe up more banana or something messy or she's broke something. And instead, so I texted her sister and said, hey, what is she doing? She's vacuuming. I was like, well, wait, what? Vacuuming, like a vacuum cleaner, like a Hoover? And she said, yes. I was like, okay. So I called to make sure because I did not believe this fantasy people. They were telling me, Caitlin, what are you doing? I'm vacuuming. Is that okay? Yep. Uh-huh. Okay, bye. Have a see you later.
Jeremy came home last night and Carmel was being like super helpful and I was mad at him. So I was mad at him and he comes and gives me a kiss and he's like, what's wrong with you? And I was just like, I don't want to talk about it because I didn't in front of the kids want to talk about it. And then I come into the bedroom and he's like, is Carmel really being helpful today or is she the reason that like you're upset? I'm like, no, it's you. Carmel's actually been really helpful today. Like she's actually was super helpful in helping me out. She was nice and she said, please. And she said, thank you. And she said, I love you. And I'm like, what is going on here?
That's how I feel. And I want to post that stuff on Facebook, but then I don't want people to say, oh, you're a little bratty kid, and then put a hateful comment or say, you're a terrible mother for posting this or because you talk about this. I know that because of you, Megan, and because of a couple of other mothers who finally have said, hey, I went through the same thing. I feel, okay, you know what? There is a connection for that. It doesn't need to be something that sends me out in a negative way. It can be, finally, I'm talking about the real crap that goes on in teenage mothers' lives because I don't see a lot of my peers posting about their teens or posting things that happened to them. I see them posting their little babies and their beautiful lives, but not the rubbish. And I want to push you all of the junk and everything that makes up my life, because it's not always pleasant. It's very hard. It's much more hard than it is happy. The happy holds bigger value for me, but life is harder than it is always roses and bubbles, you know? So I want to show all of the hard.
I remember reading a quote a while ago, and it was, your really happiest pinnacle moments are so few and far between, but it's how you hold and conduct yourself within the other areas, like periods of time.
I like that.
Like testament to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's so true. Like Facebook is just literally the highlight reel. People will always try and spin it. It's like everybody's a media tycoon. They will spin everything to make it, oh, look, it's all shiny and happy, where it really isn't. Like the photo of me and Scotty asleep on the couch on the weekend, I'm suffering health issues at the minute and I'm exhausted, and we'd had like the gastro bug on top of all of that going on, and I physically couldn't stay awake, and Chris came to take a photo just because he thought it was cute, but I was actually drop dead tired. I was not able to function. But we put it on about the spewaholics having a napathon together or something, but in reality, if I had actually been honest, I would have said I'm actually battling right now to even function around my children, but good thing Scott's deciding to join me in nap time.
Yeah, I thought it was cute. That was a cute picture.
It was very cute.
Yeah.
And the other day when I posted, you know, I had my 13-year-old throw my past in my face, and people didn't even realize what I was saying. Like, she literally did that. We were driving and she said, everybody thinks you're all positive and bubbly now, Mom, and that you're such a good person, but you haven't always been this way. And I was like, and I was like, people can change and you have the choice to change. And she's like, you made me this way. And I'm like, but you can choose to not be like this.
Mm-hmm.
I made that choice. But yeah, she threw it right in my face. And that, like, that hurt. Like, people. I
mean, yes. But you know what, though, Megan, I would have taken that as a good thing, because I've had to learn, because my kids have done that too. She noticed, though. She noticed there was a difference in you, and she saw, you know what, maybe mommy did go through crap, but look, a flower grew through her concrete, and she's noticing that, and maybe she'll remember that when she goes through her tough stuff, that I'm going to get out of here. Mom did. Because and that's maybe what I think sometimes they say too. Caitlin right now has been skipping school sometimes, and her last report card for the first time in her very smart head life was all E's, even in art and PE. Like, who fails PE? So she said, I'm not dressing out. I don't want to change into clothes, you know? I don't want to change. As if it's embarrassing to get ready for a P class. And I said, Caitlin, what are you going to do? You need this high school. If you fail high school English in ninth grade here, if you fail English and PE or English and math, you can't graduate to the next grade. And if she doesn't graduate on time because she was homeschooled for a year and they didn't accept it in Virginia, she's not going to pass high school. And I said, that's going to be tough for you. You want to get into college. You want to have a job. And the first thing she said is, Mommy, you're doing fine and you didn't go to college. I was like, well, Caitlin, that's only because I wasn't allowed to. Someone took that away from me. I wanted to go. I'm going next year. I'm going to be the oldest student in my class, but I want a first day of school picture. I want a backpack. I want all of that because I can't wait to go, you know? So I put in the wrinkle cream on so I can at least look younger enough to fit in. But I want to go. I'm excited about that because I may have been good at my career, but I had to work. I had to work very hard as a single mom, and I'm sitting desk to desk beside someone getting 20,000 more a year than me because they did have that degree. So I struggled. When you guys weren't here and you went away for the summer, sometimes I turned the cable off. Sometimes I didn't have water or electricity. But you didn't see that. I showered at the gym. But that's because what I did to survive and make you have presents under the tree. So I don't want that struggle. So when I'm nagging you, it's not because I'm a bitch. Maybe I am, but I'm nagging you because I want you not to have to struggle like me. I want you better. But so I'm okay that they notice, because then I'll just use that as a lesson. And not, you know, I just want them to notice so that they know, hey, life is tough.
Life is tough. And I love your transparency, Debbie, and how much that you share. Like, when I first met you, it was just starting. You were just starting to share. Just starting. It was a Business Among Moms meeting, and you had said, you know, I am sick of all these pink blonde women on Facebook and social media. And I'm like sitting there pink and blonde.
But I do. I love blondes. Like, I have to. I made two babies blonde. But I just, I was using that more as a metaphor for, like, yeah. I don't look like that. I'm not that. You know, I'm old and fat and wobbly and can't get into a bikini to save myself. But on my new blog, I'm going to show you my dilemma of going into stores and trying on a bikini at my age and trying to get one with these boobs and one that fits. And I don't look like, you know, a bimbo because, you know, and by bimbo, I just mean someone who has very little pieces of fabric covering her. But she's happy with that. That's what she stands for, because it's not what I stand for. I just want to go out and not hide behind the camera, be in one with cellulite, with, I don't have stretch marks, but what, all my jiggly bits, I want them all out there. Guess, you know, I don't care. As long as Aaron doesn't touch them when he's cuddling me, I don't care.
We love your jiggly bits. It's okay.
No, he needs to touch the hard bit around my rib. He cannot touch anything else. You know, below it, the alarm goes off. Up above it, the alarm goes off. But the hard bit in the middle, he can touch that one bit.
I'll come and photograph you, Deb. We'll do. I'll hold your hair for sure. I felt like that so many times with weight gain and weight loss and trying to go, because of the way I'm built, with especially with rowing for so many years, I have bigger thighs than I do butt and waist. So for me to buy a pair of pants that even fits can be absolutely like self-confidence shattering. It is horrendous. And then to go and try and fit in a bikini, like you say, if you have like a higher waist, and it curves higher up than lower down, which is where the bikini wants to sit. Everything, like, has a spare tire over the top. And for me, thighs are always bigger, so my bum doesn't look in proportion. It looks like I'm turned backwards. And it's like the mind games that you play when you go into that change room to find something to fit. I have worn shorts with, like, an actual sort of singlet, we call them, vest, whatever you call, like, the spaghetti strap tops.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
To swim, that has been my bikini for years and years and years, because I'm like you, I just, there's not much that's up top, so that side of it's not too bad. It's everything from like waist down, it for me is just, can be horrendous to the point. Yeah. I just go, I'm not going shopping ever again. Chris is like, yeah, yeah, right.
We should just do a bikini shoot this summer, all of us out there in our jiggly bits. My thighs should. My thighs have always been bigger. It doesn't matter when I was like 20 pounds lighter than I am right now, which was not healthy. I was scary looking. I was showing Jeremy a picture the other day. I'm like, don't look at me. It's after I lost all my weight. And he's like, don't go there again. Don't please. Cause I was so tiny and it was just scary, unhealthy, but my thighs were still big and they will always be big. And I'm one of those people that I've always just wore a bikini, even when I was like 80 pounds heavier than I am right now, because I like to get a good tan.
I can't attend. I just want to be able to wear one so that, you know, I'm not the only one who's looking like she's under a muumuu.
The best thing I ever did was go to Corfu and travel and lay on the beach in Corfu, because everybody there, no matter of size, shape, ethnicity, are usually topless sunbaking, but like everybody is just themselves and no one cares what the person next to them thinks. And it was so nice and it was kind of liberating at the same time. But I remember like actually going to the beach and friends of ours were like taking tops off and things, and I went, I'm not doing that. Like, we're in another country. I remember lying down on the towel face down and just undoing the back strap and just lying there going, okay, this is about as far as I get. But it was a step towards building confidence to do something.
Yeah, and I admire my husband for that, because he has total dad bods, but he walks on the beach like he is the most beautiful man in the world, and I envy that. Like, he's so happy all the time, and, you know, he's fine with his little Buddha belly. He likes it. He's just whatever.
Chris is nervous about taking his top off. Mm. I call him my bear for a reason, but he's always been really reluctant to take his top off when we go to the beach, and it's only been like the last year or two that he's suddenly gone, oh, fuck it. And he goes out and he's happy now.
Mm-hmm. I watched the Gilmore Girls, and I've watched them since they were first on. But I remember seeing, there's one scene where the men, the townsmen, and were all topless in a sauna scene. And the two, Luke, the main guy character, and Kirk, the nerdy character from the town. Well, Luke was in his usual flannel shirt in the sauna, but Luke was topless. And underneath it on this blog was a picture of him standing there, and they were bashing him, like bashing his chest, bashing his nipples, bashing. I was so horrified that they were doing that, even to a man, because I've never really seen people body bashing men online. And that was my first experience watching that. And I know he's just an actor and he's playing a part, but that's his real physical acting body. That wasn't, you know, prosthetics. That was who he is. And he came online on Twitter and had just posted a tweet about he didn't care, you know, he didn't care. He had a lot of support, but they were also like, oh, cover it up. Why are you doing that? So I don't, that's what I was nervous of too. People would say, oh my God, cover that up. What is that? And I'm like, no, I'm not covering it up. You know, I'm free.
That's like a couple of podcasts ago with Vicky from Rockstars and Royalty. She's now bringing in her Just Be revolution, and it's so people can just be yourself and without the fear of all this backlash and people commenting and shaming. And we're going to have to connect Deb with Vic, I think.
Do you know Ashley Graham, the plus size? She calls herself supermodel. Yes. So she posted a picture on Instagram this morning of her side thigh, cellulite.
And she's not like, even plus size, though. That's the crazy thing. People are calling her plus size, and she's not.
No, but she's like,
the same size as me.
I work out. I'm happy. I eat healthy. And I'm not ashamed of a few lumps and bumps. Neither should you. And she was encouraging other women, like, they should be posting pictures with the flaws. And as a photographer, I get so many people when I take pictures of them, especially during boudoir, to, oh, can you fix that? Oh, can you cover that? And I'm like, I'm not a plastic surgeon. Plus, I think you look pretty. I'm not covering that. And they'll see the pictures and they'll say, oh, wow, thank you for Photoshopping that out. And I was like, listen, I use Lightroom. I didn't Photoshop anything out. That's your bod. It's you.
I don't want people to Photoshop me. I even told Jules when she did my branding shoot, I'm like, don't cover up those puffs underneath my eyes. Those exist in real life. Like, don't try to make me look something like, don't Photoshop anything. Maybe change the color of the skirt because I want it a little darker pink. But other than that... Don't do it. I want to be there, flaws and with my stringy hairs like sticking out all over the place. One of the pictures, I'm like, look at those little hairs. They're all over the place.
But I don't do that either. I actually really hate having to change somebody for the sake of an image. And that was one of the things that stopped me doing the photography before Modern Femme. Remember I said I gave up my business because there were so many people coming through at that point saying, can you make me a size? Can you take out? I want to have that old school, you know, the old portraiture, like super smooth and fake looking skin. And I said to them, no, you saw my work before we started. And in the end, I just said to Chris, I'm done. If this is the way things are going, this is no.
I don't do it either.
Why? I mean, why not show up as your real authentic self and show people like, this is me and my imperfections and Jules and I have said many times on the podcast, you know, perfect in our imperfections or perfectly imperfect. And actually that's in our branding guide, like for the podcast, because we want to show up and be like, this is our house. And I do the podcast in my bedroom because that's where I have the best sound. And I have dishes in my sink. And I literally canceled my chiropractor appointment today because I'm like, I need to clean my house.
Yep. And so that's how I am too. Although, let's be honest, sometimes I'm full of lip service where I say it and I mean it, but I don't always live it or show it because I hide things or I wear something baggy or, you know, I put makeup on this morning.
Well, you're really comfortable.
I don't know. I guess I was showing up for the job I want, you know, by interviewing with you. I was dressing for the job I want to have, for the Debbie that I know I'm going to have one day, you know, my author. I'm doing that for my headshots, or just in case anybody sees this. And I know it was a podcast interview, but yeah, I thought, you know what? I want to feel better about myself if I'm going to talk about the crap. So slap on a lipstick.
I like that though. That's something that's authentic to you. Now, if Jules and I showed up with lipstick, that would not be.
Megan would be rolling on the floor laughing, especially if I was trying to put makeup on.
Yeah, I told Megan, I do have pajama bottoms on though, because no one can see under my waist. So I do have... And even at that, I have my husband's pajama bottoms on, not mine.
Me too.
Well, I have this LuLaRoe. I bought this outfit from my LuLaRoe lady, and it's a Julia. And it's kind of like, if anybody knows a Julia, it's kind of like form-fitting. And so at first I was like, I'm gonna take this back to her because I don't want to wear this because you see in my, you know, my belly that's not completely flat. And I'm like, you know what? Screw this. I'm going to keep this, Julia, and I'm going to wear it. And if people don't like that my belly is not completely flat, that's okay. I had four children, and at one point in time, it was almost flat, and I was scary unhealthy, and I was scary skinny, because that's the last place that I lose it. So every other place was, like, tiny, tiny, tiny. And then finally, my belly got flat, but the rest of me was too tiny. Like, you could see my collarbone and stuff. No, I'm comfortable where I am. I can have wine now. I'm not looking at, like, where did this come from? Like, what happened with this? I was scary, guys. Like, I was, like, terrified. I wouldn't eat in my in-law's house because I didn't know what they put in my food.
Oh.
Like, I don't want to be there again. I want to go out and have glasses of wine with my girlfriends and say, this is me after four children and in going into my 30s. And I embrace this. I embrace who I am. I don't care.
Yeah, the last time I wore Julia dress like that was at a wedding when I was shooting it. And someone came up to me and congratulated me for being newly pregnant. And usually I would have ran in the corner and hid and cried. I just turned around and said, oh, I'm not pregnant. I'm just fat. Even though I'm not fat, I don't think I'm fat. I just have, like, little chubby bits, but I'm not fat, and I don't care. And I just said, I'm not fat. Inside, I was crying a little bit, but I just went on with it. And I did walk around the rest of the night, like, sucking everything in, just in case someone was looking at me. And heaven forbid I got photographed from the wrong angle. I'm always in everybody else's cell phone pictures at the wedding that they post on Facebook. And it's always me doing this, bending, trying to get the picture. And it's never flattering, but they tag me in that, and I swear, I want to untag every single one of them because that's not something I want to see and be reminded of, you know? Like, and then I'm in my life, I'm taking mental notes. Never bend over like that. Don't squat down that way. You know, bend at the knees, Debbie. Bend at the knees. So I'm not going to.
But you give the rest of us courage to show up as ourselves because you show up as yourself. Like,
yeah, that's great, but I don't want to see it in a picture that you're tagging me in. I would rather just forget it was not there, didn't exist, you know? Like, the back fat is on my back, so I can't see it, and I can be happy, so you don't need to show me it and tag me in it. I don't need to see my panty lane. I have underwear on. That's great. That's an achievement in my house, but I don't want to see the back of me. No, thank you.
I did well today. I have underwear on.
Yes. Like, I ate chocolate for breakfast, and, you know, most people would say, oh, my God, that is not healthy. She ate chocolate for breakfast, and I'm thinking, I ate breakfast. That made time for me, and I liked it, and it was delicious. And there's milk in it. It's basically cereal. So,
I made breakfast bars for me with intolerance. Obviously, it makes life fun. But I made the dairy, nut, soy-free chocolate stuff, melted it down, and packed it with all the nuts and the flax seeds and the things that I'm meant to eat for breakfast.
So good.
And that has been the best 2 weeks of breakfast. It's been unreal.
And I'll help you poop.
Yeah, I call it shit chocolate.
The joys of illness. And it's not like I eat unhealthy or eat fast food or anything. And I used to actually work at a gym. I used to have like a 1.5 pack across the top of my tummy. And I like that little 1.5 pack.
Too.
Like, look at that. And then now, you know, I have a 6 pack of kegs almost now. So I'm like, whatever, it's what it is. But I like to have date night with my husband. I like to cook together in the kitchen. And I don't want to say, oh, wait, is this gluten-free? Wait, is this the fat-free version? I just want to add the ingredients like the pioneer woman does and eat it and have fun. Because I'm going to, you know, I don't know. It's me cold too. Winter. This is me packing it on for the winter.
I like that. Well, we are running low on time, so we're going to wrap this up. And I'm going to ask you, we have our final 5 questions.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Our first one is, what does authenticity mean to you?
Just the courage to own who you really are, good and bad.
And you do that quite well.
I hope so.
You're coming into it. When you started, so we had a Business Among Moms meeting, and I was the speaker, and Debbie was the spotlight. And she went first, and I was like, it made me feel more comfortable to see Debbie just show up as herself and just be like, look at my wrinkle, and I don't care that, you know, look at this boob cream that my daughter just bought. And I was just like, it made me feel so comfortable to get up there after you, because I was just like, if there had been anybody else and they were putting on this like show, I might have felt more self-conscious about myself, but you're on there and you're just being you. And I'm like, I have permission to show up as me. Because Debbie's her. So how do you make time for self-care?
I schedule fun stuff in my planner before I put down business stuff. I don't let my business run me anymore. I'll tell people, hey, I'm available this day, this time, or this day at this time. what's good for you. So they think that that's the only time I have available, when in actual fact, they schedule out my Bible study, my coffee, or date night, or whatever. So I do the fun stuff first.
I like that. I even contacted you last night and was like, so when are you available? What's going on? And I like it when people tell me, no, I'm not available, because you're not willing to, you know, be like, oh, I'll move some stuff around. You're like, no, this is my schedule. This is what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And I love that, because when we give in, we are no longer setting those boundaries with people. We're allowing, like, I was literally said to Jules the other night, I'm like, I can't do podcasts on Friday and Saturday nights. And that's a reason. It's because I want to be able to have that time with my family.
My photographer mentor, she's a friend now. I get to call her my friend. I still call her my mentor, though. But she only works a 24-hour work week, and she doesn't work, like, from Thanksgiving through January, because she wants all that time with her kids, and she doesn't really love working summers either. And she does 40 weddings a year. She also does not shoot on the weekends. And I'm like, there's no way. That's total crap. But the more I got to know her and the more I went to her mentorships and the more I started following her work, it's absolutely true. And people are still lining up wanting to book with her because she was paying for her family. So when I did the academy with her, when I started doing her academy, she's like, Debbie, then you need to do that first. You need to put your fun stuff. You don't want to work Christmas or Boxing Day. You want to celebrate all the Scottish holidays. Mark them as off days and then work around it. Bust your butt on the 24 hours you want to work. And the rest is yours. And I've been doing that. And that has been nothing short of amazing for my business. And I grew from 6 weddings my first year to 30 the next, using all of the tools that she gave me and, you know, twisting them to tweak to be more for me and less for, like, her needs. So I liked it.
I love that.
So fun first.
What is your biggest struggle as a modern day woman?
I think balancing my old-fashioned self with what I feel like I have to be in the modern world, in this very political-based world. I think it's very hard to have old-fashioned values, and I do, but that doesn't mean that I care less about women or women's rights or people just because I like to cook dinner for my husband when he comes home, or I do this stuff. You know, I'm trying to raise my girls, caring about what's important in the world now, but still having, you know, the strength it takes to serve your guy and or be happy or do things for other people, because in this world it's just very hard to do without being bashed as someone who's like, oh, you're taking us back 500 years. But really, I'm not. I just know me very well, and I want to do these nice things. That doesn't mean I'm a pushover or that I don't stand for what's right with the world or women. It just means that I have these values that I care about, and I want to keep them going. Because I want doors open for me. I want my guy to extend his hand and help me into the car. And I have someone, even in a fight, who opens a car door for me every single day, no matter what. And sometimes when I'm mad at him, I'll run out to the car and try and open it for myself just to make him mad, but he still opens it. So we care about old-fashioned values, but trying to fit that in with a very modern, forward-thinking world can be a challenge when people misunderstand why you have old-fashioned ideals.
People, when I was a stay-at-home mom with the kids before I started, you know, Beachbody and now my business now, people would say, well, what are you doing? Like, you're staying at home and you're doing the laundry and you're cooking and you're doing all of that and cleaning the house. Like, you're like a 50s wife. And I was like, are you trying to insult the fact that my husband and I got married and we decided this is how it's going to be, you know, for a reason? We sat down and made that decision together. I mean, did it make me super happy those couple of years? Not really, because I'm one of those people that has to do. I have to be doing something. But those are awesome. We still do a lot of that. I mean, he has to help me more because I also have a business too. But we still do that. I cook for my family almost every single night. Mm-hmm. And that's me. And that's okay. And it's okay if a woman doesn't want to do that. But we should be able to do what we want. Mm-hmm. So what is one tip for creating positive relationships?
Put time into it. I mean, every relationship, whether it's friendship or family one, takes actual physical time. You can't just comment on someone's picture online or like a photo and feel like that's you got an authentic relationship. You actually have to put time into a relationship. If you don't, you won't have real ones. And I would much rather care less about how many friends I have on my Facebook page and more about how many times have I seen my friends this week. You know, my best friend of 22 years lives in another state, and we still make time. We text every day and we talk on the phone. If I say I'm having a hard day, she calls me immediately. And then she flew here twice and I've flown there and I'm going there again. So you still have to put time into your friendships and your life. If you don't, you know, you're, what's the point in having them, like, really? There has to be effort put in.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I've really noticed that the two times I lived overseas, that my friends that are actually my really good friends will make the effort, and although a lot of it's done over email, they'll call me if I'm having a rough day, and they'll get on FaceTime and send that phone call message, so at least they're not paying anymore. But,
and I understand life's busy and you can't always just drop it and be with your families, but sometimes that is used as a crutch, and I don't do that. I have to get out. That's part of just being alive is spending time with people who matter to you, and you know, I guess you have to show up. Because to me, I speak louder than words or a comment or like.
Yeah, and you find out who are your really good friends once you start moving and traveling and realizing that Facebook actually isn't like a friend tool. It's literally, it's social media. It's like a journalism magazine sort of thing.
Yeah.
He's like, call me and ask me how I am doing. Grab my butt and tell me I'm pretty.
Will your husband be okay with that?
he should be but yes, I agree, you have to put that time in and really, because I've seen when I moved down to Virginia, all of my relationship with my best friend up in New York like completely fell apart, partially because we weren't, as much as I was trying to make the effort to talk, there was a disconnect because I was changing and she wasn't seeing that change like every day. So anytime she'd like see me, it'd be like this massive, like, Megan's gone from this to woo. So it got hard, and now we're still friends, but we don't have the relationship we used to.
It's cherishing friendships is important to me. And in fact, on Fridays on my blog, I'm going to continue my Friday wine nights, which is me with a glass of wine writing what's really on my heart, and a lot of it is about friendships, because you know, I've seen them wane over the years because either I'm a different age for people or you don't have kids the same age, so you stop getting invites to the birthday parties. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, you know, at one, your child doesn't care how many moms have one-year-olds. That's not how you invite people. I invited kidless people to my parties, mm-hmm. or single people to my parties. I don't set them apart and set different things for them just because they don't fit in a category. I don't want that. I would rather blend all my mishmash of crazy friends and whatever stages of life they're in, then keep them separate, because then they'll never get to interact with other women who are different from them or who are unique, and they'll start also segregating their friends. And that's just something big on my heart, is how you treat other people. So
what is one motto that you live by?
One motto that I live by? That you should always ask for help. I had to learn that a really hard way. You know, I hold my faith very high in my life, and someone who I really cherish as a friend once told me, by me denying his help, I'm denying what he feels like his spiritual gift is, which is wanting to help me. Because I felt like if, especially as a single mom, you feel like a failure a little bit, like you failed at something. And so when people offer you help, it's like you don't hear, hey, I want to help, I love you. You hear, you're not doing this well enough or right or good, I will do it for you. And I was very proud and like, no, I can do it. Like even sometimes now when my husband tries to offer help, I was like, why? Don't you think I can do it? Is it not good enough? I can do it. I was getting to it. I've just not done it yet. It's on my list. It's just not first. And he's like, no, I just want to help you do it. I see it still needs done. I was like, yes, but I'm getting to it. And I'll get mad about it. But it's okay to ask for help. It doesn't mean I'm doing bad or I'm not worthy or I'm not doing it good enough, you know, or I'm not capable. It's just somebody loves me enough to want to help me out. And I've realized now that that's a gift and not an insult.
You're talking to the choir.
We can't do all this by ourselves. I heard a speaker this past summer who says, you can do everything, you just can't do it all at once. Because you can't do it alone. We can't be everything to everybody, and we can't have all of the strengths, because it's just not possible for us to know everything.
See this, look at this. This is my system. This is my to-do list. And so they have tape on it because I have a planner, and I move them around on the days I think, like laundry, clean my bedroom. So I move them around different days. They're all on my list. They're all important to me. I just can't get them all done on the day I want them to. So I'll just move them. And it works for me because I feel like, okay, I'm still keeping some sort of organization. I'm not scoring out in my planner anymore. But it's all there. It's all important. It's going to get done, but it's one day at a time. You had shared a tip before, Megan, about, you know, making time to do things, doing one thing at a time. You know, I have a list of 3 things a day. And that way I feel accomplished when I do them. I don't need to do it all. If I have time, sure, I'll do it. But usually I have to write it down on a sticky note. And my desk is sticky note heaven. But this is structure of a book. And then I'll move it around to like, okay, I don't want that to happen yet. I want it to happen there. And that's how I work. That's my life. I might not be organized or let's sync calendars. I don't do that crap. I cannot sync a calendar. Anyway, I don't know how to do it. What if my phone dies?
You put it in the kitchen sink and fill it with water, and then you sync it.
No, this works for me. This is my Google Calendar. You know, I'm looking at it with my Google eyes. I'm like, okay, I see it. I have it scheduled. I see my password. I see everything I need to see. Yeah, and Aaron will see them and try and take a note. I'm like, no, I have that covered. I'm okay.
I love that. Debbie, thank you so much for showing up on this podcast and just being yourself and being transparent and open with our audience, because it's amazing to hear you talk and just share your life, because I can go, yes, yes, I'm there with you. It's okay for me to be imperfect and have a hot mess of a life sometimes, because that's reality. And we need more people like you that are willing to say, this is my reality.
Or at least it's somebody to say, look, she's worse than me.
But I love you.
Same as is the right word.
Thank you so much for coming on this podcast. We really appreciate you having you on.
Thank you. And I hope I get to see you guys on my blog talking about wonderful, inspiring women doing crazy, unique things.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Inspired Women Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, write us a review, and share this out with your friends and family. See you next week.